going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think that's a very good attitude.
It's Mike Shope.
You don't think? I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
It's the Bulldog.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm just thirsty.
Why don't you go to hell?
No, you go to hell. While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you
it's
are.
Mike Shope and are. The Bulldog no, on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'd love a conversation about this, and advice even. We've certainly spent enough damn time on all the prospects and the possibilities. All this interest in the draft, all these years, I have never found a good way of watching it. I don't really want to be out. I did out for a few years. Mm-hmm. We had a betting game. That was fun, but it got to be too much for me. I just wanted to spend more time sort of focused on it, not just what is Chicago going to do? Like, I wanted a little bit more relaxed vibe than that. You can't really use Twitter during the draft because Twitter will tell you the pick before TV does. And if you like the moment, the drama of the announcement, I mean, just try it. Twitter, if you're on Twitter, they will tell you the pick before the pick is announced.
Right.
Just because of the time that it takes for the, you know,
And that's even worse. And it's even worse if you're streaming, like we are both. Like,
right?
That's even slower. There's more lag on most streaming services, anyway, than there would be on cable or satellite. At least that's been my experience so far. So, it's that can be tough.
Also, I don't mind the commentary as much as maybe I think I should. Like, you know, I've enjoyed that well enough. Just watching the draft. If that's enough for you, then that's enough. Where you have the TV on.
That is usually what I end up doing, but I usually revert to it's really Kuiper, as it turns out, because I don't think I really, you know, Berman was always like meatloaf and mashed potatoes for me with gravy. Like, it's good. This isn't elite. This isn't something I would go out and pay $25 for, but you put a plate of meatloaf in front of me with some mashed potatoes and some gravy, I am eating the you-know-what out of that. I'm going to love it. And Berman was that for me on the draft, right? So now it's Greenberg, I think, and that's not, you know, he maybe is a more polished broadcaster than Berman ever was, but it just doesn't work for me. And so it's really Kuiper. Every time I've gone to the NFL Network, I don't stay there more than 30 seconds.
And I've always liked that one more.
Right. It just makes me nuts there. I don't know why. It might just be visually, it just looks so different than what I'm used to with ESPN.
It's Rich Eisen, right?
Yeah. And I like him a lot. So maybe I should try that and see if it can take, but I've never really liked any of the analysis I'm getting there. Like Steve Mariucci was there for a while. I don't know if he's still a part of the draft coverage. I know he's on the network still and has been. It just never really worked for me.
Well, that's maybe your first decision is which network. You could listen to us. I mean, if you want Bills throughout the night, you'd listen to us, I would think. So there's that option. I want fantasy, which I'm not going to get from
any of the network
ESPN
shows.
Or NFL Network. I've watched the Pro Football Focus roundtable. Collinsworth is on that. Sam and Steve have left. They do their own now, which I think might be good because they're good. So why wouldn't it be good? And then there's the one I'll be on tonight, Ship Chasing, which is absolutely a fantasy stream. I'd recommend it if anybody's serious about fantasy. The guys are great. It's funny. And they've lined up like 10 of us, you know, for different markets to talk about our home teams. I've got the Bills, which will be really late. So how do I do that, though? Like, I want to watch. I don't have that basement. I don't have six screens or anything like that. Right. I've got maybe two. I could use my phone and my laptop. I've got maybe three, but I can't listen to everything.
I could get to three because I can. I mean, my phone would be one of them. I could borrow a laptop and log into our streaming, and I could find my way to three screens if I wanted.
But you can only listen to one broadcast.
Right. And what I liked the PFF thing. Trevor Sikkema was a big part of that the year, and Collinsworth was there because he's the one who said, like, I know how this is going to sound when the Bills drafted Kincaid. I was watching them right after the Kincaid pick. I went to it. And, you know, he comped Kincaid to Travis Kelce. I'm like, oh, wow. And I liked that show, but it's not – doesn't have the highlights and, like, it's just, you know, it's just the dudes talking.
Right.
It's like this show, except, you know, they're draft experts.
And you don't get the announcement.
Right.
They tell you what the announcement was.
Right.
I like the announcement. I want that. I want those moments. Mm-hmm. Who's it going to be? Am I wrong about this? Goodell, when he makes the announcement – with the 30th pick in the NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills select name of the player, position, maybe school.
Mm-hmm.
Roselle, I don't know about Tagliabue, but that used to be the position first. Roselle was great. Like, he would leave you hanging.
Okay.
That clip we have of the Jets in 83, quarterback, Ken O'Brien. Like that's beautiful. Give me that.
Right.
Because put the position down and I can think for a second.
A little more theater there. Yeah. That works.
If Goodell tonight were to switch to that, with the 30th pick in the NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills select running back, I would scream over the name. I wouldn't hear the name.
Right.
I'd have to find out later who the name was. Just running back. We would all just be gasping, and you know, maybe miss. Yeah. Why shouldn't it be that way? That's more fun. Yeah.
I don't think he'll be announcing the Bills pick. They have a fan that is going to announce the pick. I don't have the name and the details.
Oh, really?
I know I saw a video a week or two ago. Because even some people went so far with it. I saw some. I looked at the comments. They've got a guy to make this selection. They're not going to trade the pick. They've got a guy arranged to make the pick. But like in the video, Bean says our first pick, not our first round pick. So I saw people like, you know, debating that, like, they're not going to trade it. They've got this guy arranged to come do it. And like, I don't know. I don't know that has to be a deal breaker, you know, although I know last year we were talking like this about, or whenever.
It was Kansas City,
right.
A couple of years ago.
Right.
Or was it CEH even? One of those years, the year they hosted, they might have been the Super Bowl champs and picked last, and they were not going to trade out of that pick.
Right. It wasn't CEH, it was after that.
No, it wasn't
that,
CEH.
But yeah.
They've won a couple.
There was a big, like, they were going to, there was more to the presentation than just making the pick, and you were like, there's no way they're bailing out.
That's right. Right. That's right.
So I don't think this Bills thing rises to that level, but they do have someone, I think, selected to make the pick for them. That's
okay.
a fan of the team.
Here's Mike with us. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you, Mike?
Good.
Good. I wanted maybe a little different take on some of the things I've heard. I agree that the most pressing need for the Bills is to get probably one a cornerback and two a defensive tackle. But when I look at the thing that made them unsuccessful last year, and the inability to get to the next level is the inability to get off the field on third down. So in my mind, the best way to fix that is if at 30, and I know this isn't always doable, is if you can sign or if you can draft a blue chip pass rush edge guy that's twitchy, which is kind of the thing we don't have right now. And keeping in mind, we're, you know, Bosa's a 1 year deal and we're losing Epinesa while he's on 1 year deal as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best way to do it. So let's say, for example, if there's a guy like Pierce there and the Bills are good with, you know, any other attitude issues or anything like that, I think that's their best way to go. And then look for, with the two picks, corner and D tackle in the second. And just one other quick point. I would look in the to move up into the third round if they could, or early in the fourth, and draft a guy like Dante Thornton from Tennessee. He's 6'5". He runs a 4.3 40. He led the nation in yards per catch. He does not have to catch 80 balls for the Bills. He'd make 40 be nice. He needs to stretch the field and be a threat and open up the middle of the field, because the Bills don't have that guy either. And all these other receivers they're talking about, like Luther, whatever his
Burden,
name is.
Burden,
Burden. Yeah, these guys are glorified slot receivers. We got all slot receivers, including Coleman. We need a guy with some speed to at least keep them honest. Every now and then you hit on that, but also open up that mid-range stuff for all those slot guys and for our tight ends.
Before you go, Mike, just to tell you, I use the Football Guys rookie draft guide, and among other things, and they have a comp for each player. I know a lot of places do. Their Dante Thornton Jr. comp is Justin Shorter, who was here. He was a Bills draft pick.
You know who mine is, actually? He's the poor man Randy Moss to me.
Well, that's a little more complimentary than Justin Shorter, I guess.
That's
Justin Shorter didn't run a 4.3 40 either.
Right. Okay. You're right.
Like his size.
You're right.
And this guy is long. He doesn't have to be. I don't want a first rounder. We got, like, everybody eats. That's fine. We just need one guy that keeps them honest and stretches the field and opens up underneath. And one last point I wanted to make. I have this theory in general anyways that in the first round, you draft really five positions only. They're the most impactful positions on the field and the most expensive, so you get the fifth year. That is, first in order is your quarterback. Second is an edge rusher. Third is your corner. And then fourth and fifth, you can say, is either your wide receiver or your left tackle. But the point is to take a run-stuffing one-technique guy in the first round, the marginal difference between him and the third-round guy that does it is he might get two more sacks.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I agree with that.
Yeah, I've been saying that a lot, so much so that Mike thought one of our experts said it.
I'm pretty sure one did.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I stole it from that person, but I've been feeling that way for quite a while. I like the caller's thinking. I heard Sal this morning. I'm trying to remember if it was on the morning show, if it was on his own show, or it definitely wasn't with us an hour ago, say exactly that. Like, they might be looking, the Bills might be looking for a very specific type of receiver, and the speed element is exactly that. So if you can find that in a 6'5" package on Saturday, and I don't need him to play 80% of the snaps and catch 80 balls like Mike is saying. I need him to play a role and, you know, get out there, make, you know, establish that it needs to be respected. So you have to hit on some plays, at least throw the ball down there to him and make teams respect it. And that might, to start off, be all you're looking for. And I can accept that. I mean, I can get lost in the intrigue and the excitement of Matthew Golden or even Burden, we've talked about a lot. Any other guys that are, you know, above Saturday, either the Iowa State guys or the Utah State guy, Noel and Higgins, those guys. Those guys all sound like Friday guys to me. So this Thornton does not. And I might be okay with that. It's not the sexiest thing, but it might be functionally exactly what you're looking for.
Mike sounded like somebody to me. George Perlis. Know that name?
Not sure I do, no.
George Perlis was the Michigan State coach for a long time. Before that, he was a Steelers assistant. You know, I have all those Super Bowl NFL film shows, like, just completely burned into my brain. The Super Bowl 10 one, he's talking to Greenwood and Joe Green. He's the defensive line coach of the Steelers that year.
And he sounds like this guy.
This guy's voice reminded me of that. Well. That can't be you. That can't be LC. Screw the pass, whatever he says in that clip. I guess I don't have it memorized, but I guess I think I have his voice.
That's
now.
What happens when you watch those things 1,000 times.
You don't memorize the words?
No, no. I just mean you, the voice of someone's voice. Like, oh, this sounds like a guy from this. Like,
yeah.
That's all.
Thanks, Mike. A lot of good points. Poor man's Randy Moss. I mean, that's Mediterranean Avenue. Right? I mean, that's the first piece on the Monopoly board. You know, no offense to the guy. Maybe he'll be good. I don't know that he won't. But I mean, if we're talking about the fifth round or even the fourth versus Randy Moss,
yeah,
one of the all-time greats. All right. Speaking of receivers.
Oh, is this the new name? You teased the new name at the top of the hour.
I did. Evan Silva's final mock draft. I believe second and final. I wonder who does the most. Maybe Chris does one every week.
Right, right.
Somebody's out there doing one every day, I bet.
I kind of want to guess.
All right.
At 30?
Yes. No trades in this mock draft.
I'm going to say he has the Bills taking Buka.
No.
Okay.
Baltimore did.
Mm. Too bad.
Also, McMillan went to Dallas.
It's a new name?
Well, I have not seen this name mocked to the Bills, I think, yet.
Okay.
This is a player we've talked about.
Is it Matthew Golden?
Yes.
That was excited. That took my breath away. That's what that was.
See, again, wouldn't it be better if Goodell put the position first when he made the announcement? You could have a half second to think about who it might be.
Let me send him a text.
You know what it is? You get two. Yeah, do that.
Hey, Commissioner. Radio's the Bulldog here in Buffalo. My co-host.
Big fan. You get two.
Thanks for taking my call.
You get two. I'm so right about this. I have no idea whether Dante Thornton will be good. I'm right about this. You get two jolts of energy. Wide receiver. Okay. Can we stop the clock?
Yeah. Whoa!
Let me just think about that for a second.
Right.
Who could it be? Who's available? He doesn't have to give you 30 seconds there, but just one is enough to start.
Yep.
Your mind starts racing. And then the name, and that's a second jolt of energy. You said the name first. You know, you follow the draft. You already know what position he played and what school he went. So you don't even hear the rest of the announcement
right.
once you hear the name. But the other way,
you can even pump it up to the point where you go position, then the school. Because in the case of Matthew Golden, I mean, not that Isaiah
That's right.
Bond is thought of as the same level of prospect, but still, he's been tied to the Bills. He's met with the Bills, a 30 visit for the Bills. So you go wide receiver, Texas, I know both guys are available. I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, I'd want to go back and forth on that. I wouldn't want to do it every time that way because it takes a while to say the name of the school, and it's going to be a formality most of the time once
yep.
you know the position and the school. Like, you won't even hear the name then. But, yes, it would be cool to do that if there were two guys.
Yeah. Only where there are two guys.
Texas
guys, the Iowa State guys, at receiver I'm talking about here specifically, right? I know there are other schools where there are, you know, more than one prospect at a position.
Yes. It's a good idea. It's not original. Roselle. That's how we used to do it. The GOAT.
That's what we're going with?
The commissioner, the GOAT of commissioners. No?
NFL-wise or just overall?
Everything.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Oh,
who do you put above him?
The NBA guys.
David Stern?
Yeah, I mean, building-wise, like, he gets a lot of credit for, like, the template. Like, Bettman was under him, and he came to the NHL and tried to do kind of similar, I think. But I'm thinking of the new guy, Adam Silver. Like, although I think it's lost a little juice there. But it seemed like when he showed up, like, it's sort
Everybody
of
loved him.
New ideas and exciting and all that. So,
Giamatti for baseball. There's no other baseball commissioner has been even liked.
That's right.
I liked Faye Vincent because I got to talk to him. So I came to like Faye Vincent, but I didn't really have an opinion of him when he was on the job. Those conversations were after he was out as commissioner. But Giamatti had it.
I did that once with you, Faye Vincent.
Yeah?
Yeah, I remember it.
Giamatti was the best. Brilliant guy. eloquent speaker.
Yep.
Somebody you just had to listen to.
And did really was the last. I think this came up when we were talking to Faye Vincent. Like, he was the last of the what the commissioner really was prior to this modern era that we're in now.
The ombudsman.
Yeah. It was what's right for the game. What's the best thing to do for the sport and everyone else that has followed him. And I think even Faye Vincent sort of got like derailed. It just like the business sort of took over, and you're suddenly just the steward for the owners, not the game.
And he was the commissioner when they canceled the World Series, so that's never going to go over well,
right?
But Roselle, the problem with Roselle, just lastly, as the choice, is that anybody involved in the AFL would hate it because Roselle was the enemy to the AFL. So I guess I'd have to be careful around Ange, you know. I'd have to just be careful where I say this. 803-0550 for your calls. The draft tonight, round one. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, listening to your ideas, bouncing our own off of you guys and each other. We'll be back after sports here on WGR.
But there is one team in the New York Giants that did make an aggressive pursuit to move into that number one spot. I'm told by my Titans sources that the Giants were the most aggressive team to move to that one spot. And I'm told by my Giants sources that they were made very clear by the Titans that they were not going to trade out of that first pick. And that is because we do anticipate that they will select Cam Ward in that spot.
Jeff Darlington, no drama at one overall. Today, there has been a little bit about pick two, with the rumor being that Jacksonville might want to trade up with the Browns for Travis Hunter. What could the Browns get? We've talked about all these middle picks and whether trade-ups are coming because everybody's kind of the same and maybe you wouldn't really need to trade up or you wouldn't want to pay regular price. That pick, though, that would probably be a haul.
I would think even from 5 to 2.
5 to 2.
Is got to be, I mean, obviously pick 5, next year's 1, and then I don't know what else. I don't know that it has to be a lot more than that because it's only 3 spots, but it is so high up in the draft. So it's absolutely next year's 1, I think, without question.
Without question.
Then I don't know what else fills it out. Like like a couple of 2 or something. I don't know what.
On my thing here, it's 900 points. Steve Palazzolo tweeted a mock trade between Jacksonville and Cleveland gave them like 14 things for the PFF computer.
You mean Jacksonville gave them 14?
Yeah, sorry. Jacksonville gave Cleveland all the picks. All the picks. Oh. And 2 more next year, maybe. It was funny.
Okay. Wow.
I tried that one, the PFF one. I liked it. And remember this? We were doing this on the air, I think. How much would I have to give up? Maybe it was 30-1. I don't know what it was, but I just kept dumping
and it wouldn't let you
picks into the algorithm, and there was just no possible way it was going. I couldn't get the deal done. You only get so many tries before they start. All right, we're moving on.
So trying to sign into your bank account.
Yeah, maybe.
You're out. You're done.
You only get so many tries at it. Right. Minnesota could be an interesting team tonight. They have only 4 picks in the whole draft. The additional second-round pick the Bills own was theirs. It's maybe confusing because they got it for Diggs, but they got it from Houston, and they got Diggs from Minnesota. But it was right. Minnesota's pick that Houston owned. And Minnesota had a surprisingly great season. That could have been a lot better if they were terrible, of course, but that didn't happen. But trading down is one of the more interesting discussions, I think. Minnesota, I think, is 24, and I don't know, maybe that's a trade up where they accrue picks. That would be the case there. And I'm thinking that that might be, people are speculating that that's what they want to do, try to catch up a little bit.
Yeah, I wonder if they're maybe they don't have to be too early. If somebody wants to try to, beat everybody to this idea that you have been talking about for many weeks, the teams that aren't getting quarterbacks at the top, if they want to make sure, right? I want to make sure we get our guy. Maybe that's a spot especially if you get Steelers are at 21, right?
Yep.
And Minnesota's at 24, you said.
I think so.
So if the Steelers don't pick Sanders or Dart or even Milroe, right? I'm going to keep that idea alive. I still would want to bet on him being the second quarterback pick, but I'm not going to be able to do it. But if you get through there, and it doesn't have to be if one of them goes, fine. Maybe even if one of them goes, then, and it's not the one you want, the Giants or the Browns, then, but a quarterback went, like, oh, yeah, you know, we better move here, right? The Giants might be worried the Browns are going to do it. The Browns might be worried the Giants are going to do it. So then you do. Maybe that's not too early. It really might hinge on what Pittsburgh does do. If they don't do anything quarterback-wise, right, just pick, I don't know, a running back because they're the Steelers, then maybe you feel like you can sit tight and maybe revisit it at the bottom where the Bills are. But I feel like if the Steelers were to do something quarterback-wise, then maybe Minnesota, if they want to move down, maybe they'd have that same opportunity you've been talking about the Bills perhaps having. Just a thought.
Evan has the Steelers on Grant and the Vikings on Starks. Two players we've talked a lot about, Evan Silva. And the Rams on Amos.
That's the first time I have seen. This is not me saying it has never happened. I just have, and I still haven't seen this, so I guess it still counts, but I believe you. Amos, something I've said the last couple days, I never see him. The only place I see him in the first round is at 30 to the Bills.
So I've got two things on this for you. One is Jordan Rodrigue, Rams reporter, has said that the Rams want a corner. So their competition, if that's what the Bills want to do, and I think that'd be my guess. So maybe the Bills would want to get ahead of the Rams. 25 is Houston. 24 is Minnesota, like we just said. Mm-hmm. That could be a fit. And Daniel Rez, who does – I mean, you want to – Trapasso is like this. These guys and their mock drafts and just the prowess and how much thinking goes into it. This Daniel Rez for Legendary Upside, I don't know him, but I watched him and Pat Corain do an hour and a half on this mock draft last night. Watched the whole thing. I was into it, and there's just so much – information behind it. And he had, I forget what it was, but I wrote it down that he had some reason to think Hairston from Kentucky was in play for the Rams, but not Amos. There was something about maybe one visited and the other didn't.
Or scheme fit, maybe. I don't know.
But, or the Rams don't even do visits. Yeah, maybe something like that. There was some reason to think that. So, but they could be competition for cornerback. Probably will be.
What does it cost me to go from 30 to 24?
Great question.
Or 25. Either one. Let's say
24, because we think Houston might be so inclined. That's 120 points on the draft tech chart, and this is where...
Wait, Houston. I thought you said Minnesota was 24.
Minnesota.
Okay. You said Houston just now. I just got confused. Okay.
I wanted to say, let's use Minnesota, because they're rumored to be a trade-down candidate. I think more so than Houston is.
Okay.
So that's 120 points on this draft tech chart, and this is where you want a third, because that's how you get there. That's how you do that. Maybe it's 2/4, but I don't know if that's too rich to move up 6 spots. I don't know. Do I want to do that? Mm-hmm. But that's about the price. The third round, there's something about it. That sort of middle, it's still day 2. There's still players you can maybe imagine starting for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the flexibility you get, I think, in trade negotiations by having a third round pick seems like it's important. I mean, a second can be that, but I think you're holding your second round pick close to your heart. Like, mm-hmm. That's a pick you really want to make.
Yes, I agree.
A third, maybe you could live without it, but you just want it for that flexibility, and the Bills don't have that pick. That's Amari Cooper.
Right.
So, pick 94. Maybe they get it back from the Browns if they do the quarterback thing. Cleveland moves back in.
Right, but that doesn't help you. You can't go back in time and then use that pick to trade to 24.
No.
Time doesn't work that way.
No, you cannot do that.
Nor does the draft.
You want it now.
Right. You can't get it now.
It sucks that there just has not been anything. You know, like, just give me a day 2 trade right now. Just let's just move around a little bit. Anybody?
Well, there has been a lot of speculation that once the round begins, it could be nuts, and that could include veteran players, and that just there could be a lot of shuffling around. If prices are depressed to move up and teams are crushing on players and, you know, different teams have different agendas and, of course, different gradings and whatever. So I'm sitting at 16, whatever. And I don't, there's not a guy I really like. I had 12 first-round grades, like maybe the Bills only have 12 first-round grades. I'm sitting at 16, but somebody back there is like, man, our dude is there. And if lots of teams are actively trying to do that, then you know, maybe it doesn't cost as much as it usually does. And that could activate some teams. You know, if they don't have to give up, you know, if the third doesn't have to be it, you know, then maybe you'll even get more of it. So despite it being pretty dull right now with no first-round picks changing hands at all in the run-up to this draft, maybe it'll be the Wild West once we get to 8 o'clock.
Well, that would be great.
Or a little deeper into it. Like, you know, not right at 8 o'clock necessarily.
I don't even need trades exactly. I want the scoop that I can fall for and that you can get mad because I am so gullible to think that this is real. Jacksonville is the only team playing around. Well, maybe Cleveland is. Diana Russini, Browns actively listening to offers for number 2 pick. Who knows what that is?
Actively listening.
Actively, yes.
As opposed to passively listening?
All right. As opposed to not listening?
Listening at all. Right. I think listening is fine there.
I mean, the Titans.
I don't think I need actively. Whatever. I don't need
right.
Picky.
I think you're right. The Titans did say they were going to use their pick, so we're not getting that at 1, but we are getting that at 2, I guess. And you know, do you believe it?
Sure. For now, yeah. I think there's a case to be made. You know, you're talking about, especially in the Browns' case. I mean, they probably have a decent amount of work to do. I mean, of course, they need to find a quarterback, and I don't know that trading from 2 to 5 necessarily helps them unless they think they like the idea of drafting the second quarterback more at 5 than they do at 2, but I don't know if I would appreciate that. But if you get, you know, pick up something else that helps you get back into round 1, then that might work, right? They pick up stuff for day 2 by moving those 3 spots. I mean, they'll get more than that, but still, if they get something they can add that can help them get from 30, where are they in the second round? 35, they're right behind the Giants.
Browns?
Yeah.
They're first.
They're first, okay. Then help them get from 33 to, you know, wherever they need to get to, then to pick their quarterback, you know, in the late 20s or even the 30, like the Bills.
It is 33. We don't even have a forfeited pick here, like we've had before. Miami, make for a different number there. If the Browns were to trade out, say to 5, what do they do? They could do anything, right? They're on Travis Hunter because why would you not be? How could you not be?
Right, if you have the second pick in this draft and a quarterback is going 1, then you're drafting Travis Hunter.
I haven't thought about them at any other position at all. I mean, offensive tackle. Like people are picking offensive tackles at 5. Genty.
Yeah, I was just going to say Genty. I mean, Nick Chubb is
gone.
Yeah, so.
For now, at least.
Yeah.
Okay, we're on till 7. Sal will join us again in the 6 o'clock hour from the stadium. We get going with the first round at 8. What do you think tonight? 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. I just told Bulldog, confession or admission, I think I've got 2 hours left in me on this draft thing. Everything has been said. Is it this way as a listener? Everything has been said so many times by now. I congratulate my colleagues in, because now with the YouTube stream, I'll see on Twitter every day, like the morning show, and we're doing the same thing. It's just like a different framing of the same different framing, dozens of different ways to frame. Who will they take? Right. All we're ever doing is who will they take, you know, or what should they do?
Yeah.
What would be a worst case scenario? Just all the different concepts. And in the last few minutes, I've just felt like I'm about done here. Like I'm Foreman against Ali when Ali says, "That all you got, old man?" And Foreman said he thought to himself, "Yep, that's about it. I, right. I think you got me. I think I'm going to lose this fight." So that's probably why I had the instinct to say, like, can there just be a trade or something, please?
Yeah, right.
Give me a rumor that you can yell at me for buying. That's all. Just give me one of those. Give me a Quinn and Williams moment.
Yeah.
If that's even possible, when you pick 30.
Well, you know, my brain immediately defaults to this idea. What if it's a Milrow rumor? And because I'll believe it. Because I want to believe it. Like, that's my dude, right? So we'd have to play some role reversal here. I don't know if you would need, like, a brain transplant to make that happen. But, or maybe I would. But, like, anybody wants to put something out there, Diana Russini or Schefter or whoever, like, you know, we're actually hearing now that, you know, the Raiders really love Jalen Milrow. And don't be surprised if he goes much earlier. I mean, hook, line, sinker, the whole boat, the whole tackle box is in my mouth. I'm so, I'm engorging that. I just gotta have it.
If that happens, I'm paying you in 100 quarters. I'm not sending you a Venmo. I'm bringing in a roll of quarters to pay off that bet. What a win that would be.
Yeah.
I mean, that is coming from behind. Milrow in the top 16 is the bet.
Right.
And it has a little bit of steam. I mean, not 16 so much, but he does have a little bit of steam. There are more and more people who sound like they think he should be number two.
I'm at a point where I would honestly admit, not just this crush and our bet or whatever, where I think I'm going to be surprised if today comes and goes without him being picked. Like, I think there's enough juice there that somebody is going to do it. And I don't know, was it Trapasso yesterday we were talking with? Like, Brian Daboll, like, I could see him totally digging that as a Josh Allen idea. I've got my veterans, we're going to take our time, but, you know, and I know that, you know, the Bills end up playing Allen after halftime of the opener in his rookie year.
Yes.
And so the plan didn't exactly work, and it didn't harm Allen's development whatsoever. Maybe it even helped his development. It's easy to say that now. Anyway, but that's not going to be 16, but still, maybe the Giants creep in there at the bottom of the second round, and that's where they go.
It's kind of wild, by the way, that Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson made their took their first NFL snaps in the same game as backups. The game was so out of hand. Neither guy started. I mean, Allen could have started week one. Jackson would have been tougher with Flacco there, and he was pick 32. So neither guy gets the start, but they both get in the game and, you know, do a little bit as backups in their NFL debuts. There is a trade. It's sort of reminiscent of that Sabres-Senators trade where they each sent each other five minor leaguers.
Oh, no.
Houston has traded a fifth and a 2027 fifth to Cleveland for 2 sixes and a seventh this weekend.
This show should be arrested for reporting that.
I know. Well,
we should go to radio.
Don't shoot.
We should go to
messenger.
Radio jail for reporting that.
Ian Rappaport.
As a trade.
You have your Rappaport issues.
Yeah.
In the tweet, it's just the word, capital T, trade, exclamation point. I'm not sure this is an exclamation point trade. It's at least he didn't write blockbuster.
Yeah.
He didn't try that this time. Yeah. That was the issue last time.
Right.
Who was the trade he was talking about when he called it a blockbuster?
Oh, my gosh.
One player for a pick?
It was one player for a pick, and it just was not... Now I don't remember, and I am not going to go through his Twitter feed to try to find it.
Okay, maybe we'll think of it.
Yeah.
Somebody will know. Seeing pictures of the scene at Lambeau looks pretty great. The draft is not inside Lambeau Field. It's out of the parking lots. The stage is set up outside of the field. Looks pretty great. 803-0550, let us know what you think will happen tonight, if you want. We'll be here either way. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Sal Capaccio coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll be back after sports here on WGR.